Hey, this is Matthew Peterson. Welcome to the show. Today, we're going to talk about the news. The news. What's in the news? I want to just lay out a very basic principle of how news works and how it can be used in the next 2 years to create something large and in charge and something that really is disruptive to the other side. And then next, we will talk about navigating through the morass of fake and performative garbage that we see all over us. It is a soul-sucking time to be alive. Yes, we are relatively wealthy in throughout history, times and places, but when you look around, what you see now is not very good. It's increasingly ugly and vapid and hollow. What will we say then? What will we do then? How do we get through all of that? And then last, we talk about the problem of the wokeness and civil rights and the woke HR regime and the talent network and how we need to get out from under that. And I just go into how dehumanizing it is and how the people's conscience, the spark of conscience is now the light that you have to hide under a bushel lest you be persecuted. And that is not right. And there are ways to get out. There are ways and you need to employ them. You need to walk down those paths if you're stuck in the prison of your job. So that's plenty for one day, I think. I'll see what you think by the end of the show. Let's get on with it. First topic of the day, let's talk about news. Let's talk about what needs to happen when it comes to news media. We can talk a lot about how digital technology has ripped down the veil of televisual technology or television. Since television was subsumed into the digital ether, it was subsumed into the internet. Cable started this process. Now the veil is ripped off. So the last seven years or so, I would say, of American life have revealed the fact that TV lies to you, and everyone knows it. And the mainstream media, quote unquote, is disrespected. It's not trusted, and in part that's because the new medium has subsumed the old within itself, as McLuhan would say, which always happens. And this ends up revealing the flaws of the concept that a man on a highly produced televised medium in half an hour could communicate to you as the voice of God and tell you what's officially going on in the rest of the world in some objective manner. And we realize that that's almost laughable now, right? We still need something akin to news. I've talked about some ways in which that might work in the future, but I want to talk about that in terms of strategy, like how news should work today if you want to get ahead, scale up quickly, and beat the mainstream press. So, the problem, I would say, of the 20th century concept of news media is that as soon as you say you want to expose the truth and take on both sides, you've effectively created a side that needs to be more powerful than all the sides you are reporting on, or you will be destroyed. Let me say that again. If you want to expose the truth and take on, both sides or all sides, you have just effectively created a side that needs to be more powerful than all the other sides you are reporting on, or they will destroy you. You can't understand news media unless you understand the battlefield of public life in contemporary American society. And look, in the national context of a post-industrial America, and similarly in any time and place, really, but in, that's our context now, this necessitates the support of billionaires who are willing to fight or an immense popular base of supporters. It's hard to see how you go without billionaires either way, but you either got to have billionaires, or maybe you can do it if you have just a lot of popular support, so much that people are afraid to mess with you, right? Those are your options, really. I mean, you're either going to be able to take on the man, you're going to be able to expose the truth and show both sides and take on all the sides out there, the only way you can do that is if you have the support of very powerful people, or you already have an immense popular, you know, base of supporters. This is important because the simplistic mindset of the past is that somehow, you know, you can just start exposing the truth, you know, reporting on what's really happening. And why don't people do that? It would be popular. Well, they don't do that because they'll get destroyed, and you need a power base from which to operate. So again, you're either going to have money, powerful people. It's not just money. It's money translated into power, people who are willing to defend you with the lawyers and everything else, the phalanxes of lawyers you'd need. Or you got so much popular support, people are just afraid to mess with you. So in other words, you want to, you know, you want to get into the news and expose what's really going on and take on both sides. You need your own coalition of power that is able to repel attacks from all the sides you are taking on. In other words, news or reporting is inherently political and cannot be seen outside the politics of a given regime. It depends upon, news or reporting depends upon creating a side as powerful as those it reports on. You have to create a side as powerful as those you're reporting on. And that's necessary. It's almost like a, it's almost like an equation. This is so true. To do this, you have to move carefully and prudentially. So a typical progression is to start by identifying whatever the mainstream outlets in a given time and place won't touch. So you're going to look for what the mainstream doesn't talk about to differentiate yourself. But it has to be safe enough, just safe enough, so as not to get killed or shut down. This is just the reality of it, of human nature. This effort is often sloppy at first because of a lack of talent, polish, and resources. But if done well, it achieves popularity and friendly elite notice. So you outflank mainstream opponents by carving out such niches with growth potential by baby steps. You know, you go after corruption, for instance, in a very corrupt society, but you don't start with the big dogs who will kill you. You first take on weaker players that don't have deep or very deep or very wide support. You make a splash doing that, and you slowly build from there. There's an enormous opportunity to do this now in America. Enormous. But it's a very difficult prudential task. It requires talent, dedication, clear eyes about what you're doing and why. The part of the clarity is that it's inherently political in the broad sense of the word, and you got to drop these 20th century, you know, propagandist notions of a robotic, godlike objectivity without losing sight of the goal. And the goal is the truth. The goal is the truth. Not objectivity, whatever that means, but getting at the truth, revealing the truth of the world to people, what's going on in the world. And I would say that is the goal. To do that, you have to play the game. And the game is played, again, by slowly, like, differentiate yourself by saying what others won't say, but there's only so far you can go. And if you're careful about that, prudence. I mean, there's no formula. You have to have the right people looking at the right things who just have an instinctual sense and a honed sense over time of how to do this. You grow and you grow and you grow, and eventually you can take on more powerful interests. Even when you do that at the top level, you're still going to need to play various forces off of each other and be very careful, because at the end of the day, if you push too hard, you will be destroyed. You will be destroyed. Ultimately, again, you need a coalition that is at least as powerful, probably more powerful, than the sides you're reporting on. And again, I say this is like a mathematical equation almost, because you don't live, there's no such thing as a society in which people just are going to take it lying down. They're going to attack you, and they're ultimately going to destroy you if they can, if you go after them. And now we're in a very of course, corrupt situation in which, you know, you would be destroyed very quickly. And, you know, you wouldn't be killed. You'd be canceled. Your business would be sued. You'd die by a thousand cuts. There's all kinds of ways to do this in our litigious and corrupt society. So it doesn't mean, however, that it can't be done. It doesn't mean that you couldn't grow something very large, very fast by basically following the principle that I just elucidated. And the principle is, you know, easy to say, very hard to do in practice. If you take on too much too soon, you know, you will be destroyed. And my kind of cartoon example is always the Untouchables movie, the David Mamet Untouchables movie from back in the day with Kevin Costner and Sean Connery and Robert De Niro as Al Capone. And there's a scene where Costner is, I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but it bears repeating. Costner is coming in as Elliot Ness, the Fed who's going to come in and catch the gangster in corrupt Chicago. And, you know, he's kind of like, what gives? You know, I'm making no progress in my investigation. And the old Irish cop, played by Sean Connery, sort of says, look, everyone knows what's going on. If you want to go, we know where the bad stuff is. We know where the bad stuff's happening, the bootlegging. And if you want to go attack it, that's fine. Just you got to count the cost. Because if you do that and think you're, you know, going to accomplish something, you may end up just getting killed and you'll accomplish nothing. You have to count the cost if you want to take on the big dog. So, you know, that's the way in which you take on the big dog when you don't have as much power is you start nibbling around the edges, right? You don't go right for it, because if you go right for it, you will be destroyed. Okay. That principle is incredibly important right now. When you think of the collusion between the feds, the government, and big tech. And it really is something that people should keep in mind when they evaluate the scene. You know, if your business model is based on getting money from advertising, and the primary way you advertise is through Facebook, say, you're just not going to survive. I mean, you could say the truth, but you'll just disappear, and you won't have the money to reach your audience, and your business might die, right? I mean, that's the whole problem with the scenario that we are in now. So this is not, it's not easy. It's not easy now. And it's almost obvious. It's almost on the surface. You can see this principle at play where people are trying to figure out how far they can go and what they can say. For instance, every individual who's on Twitter is aware of this dynamic where you knew you would get banned over the last few years if you said certain things in a certain way. And so you'd try to say things in a way that that wouldn't get you banned, right? Well, indicating the direction in which your mind is headed, the direction in which you see the truth as existing in. So, you know, I mean, the sooner you get through your head that what we live in is a corrupt as hell oligarchy and not a law and order republic, the easier the next few decades will be on your psyche anyway, as I like to say. And the more you'll be able to focus on the issues at hand, and this is one of those issues. So I hope that is that's helpful in terms of describing in a kind of blunt way the way in which media works. For me, for news media, I remember this starting out very early on in a really visceral way in local politics in Southern California, running an anonymous blog, you know, being sued before Twitter existed, and playing with stories, journalists and politicians in some of the corrupt cities in Southern California, and realizing, you know, even as a sued, how far you could go, how far you couldn't go before the lawsuits were threatened, and you know, things get serious. And you know, you can end up in some of those cities then and now with a bullet and it going through your windshield if you really push right to the core of the corruption. You know, that's just the way it will be. You will suffer consequences in some of those areas in a very, you know, physical way if you push too hard. But the way in which news really works is to slowly carve out, you know, nibbles around the edges that start to put the corrupt force or individual into a corner without going at them with enough ferocity where they get, you know, they turn around and just destroy you. And that means, you know, going after the bit player rather than the big guy, right? Going after the adjacent corrupt business where it's more obvious and it's not, you know, trying to take a headshot at whoever the king is. Even if you want to destroy someone's reputation online or in media, you do the same thing, right? You don't just say, oh, this person is a complete dirtbag, terrible. You start to, right, cause doubt. You slowly move in a certain direction. That's how prudence works. So the shaping of images work. And even when you know what the truth is, right? This is the problem that people have. Even when you know what the truth is, you're not able to just describe it in this environment. You have to be prudent. You have to figure out you have to choose your battles. Where are you going to expend your capital? What are you going to go to the mat for? And where, when, and why? And you know, time this stuff out because it's a constant war. It's a continuous war in the media. Media is a battleground. Media is the battleground of the war for everyone's hearts and minds in a society that is deeply, deeply, deeply divided. I hope that we will see the rise of a more intelligent right-leaning news in the next few years. We're pretty much, people are screwed if it doesn't happen by 2024, that becomes then so popular and big, almost like Tucker is a microcosm of this at Fox, within Fox. So it becomes so popular and big by 2024 that it's very hard to cancel it. And if whoever is at the top of it, if those people are not willing to bow and it is able to achieve a certain tipping point level of popular power and support, then all of a sudden some very interesting things could happen. And that's really the statesmanship of media in a totalitarian regime. So. That's good for that. That's enough. But there's a lot more to say. But this is also speaking at the end here to the importance of this effort to have real news that understands the moment, that plays politics, and it fights to win. I want to talk about how dispiriting this time is. I don't know about you, but 2023, even though I firmly believe with hope, with faith, and you know, some reason as well that for me personally, there's a lot of great things that will happen in terms of you know, what I'm trying to accomplish. I think that I'll see a lot of progress this year, and so do I think a lot. So will a lot, I think a lot of my friends and colleagues, but. When you just survey the scene, when you look around, everything is so unbelievably terrible. I don't even know, you know, how to describe it. It's like the whole world's already dwindling vitality suddenly just drained out, and it left nothing but the fake and performative all around us in all directions, all the way down. And there's just cringe hovering over the face of the deep. As a friend said, it's staggering. It's astounding. But we have to navigate through this morass. And it really is a morass. I mean, it's awful. All sides, you know. I mean, you could see this in a way during the debate over the speaker, McCarthy. There's a sense in which I was very supportive of any effort to disrupt the system. And disrupt the two, you know, easy vote for the speaker to be Kevin McCarthy. But, you know, I look at all of those people, all the politicians, all of D.C., and it's revolting to me. And it was revolting for many other people. Then you look at what's happening in terms of our infrastructure turning into a second world country. I mean, I've said this on Twitter, like, if I must, let me be as clear as I can, wherever you look, they are purposely turning our first world country into a second world country because some of them believe in the lunatic ideology, but Also because others believe solely in power and they would rather reign in hell than serve in heaven, right? They'd rather reign in a 21st century version of the Soviet Union, the woke Soviet 21st century digital edition, rather than lose power in a healthy, new revivified America. And that's a trade-off they're willing to make. Like that, they're okay with that. And everywhere you look, you just see, spiritual morass, this lack of vitality, these performative rituals that are they're meaningless, and terrible people being elevated. You realize that, as I said on Twitter recently as well, you need to realize that the medium pasty DC type who sells out his country to China or whatever, does it merely to avoid conflict or for a relatively small amount of money. The world ends because some narrow-souled, sad sack bureaucrat wants a fishing boat or a small vacation home and takes a few small bribes indirectly. That's the way this works. You have to realize that. You have to wrap your head around that. That's the kind of corruption that's killing us. The bigger dogs above the median, pasty, corrupt DC type, they want a little more. That's true. A little more capacity. So they sell out their country maybe for, a house in Malibu. And they wouldn't even say they're selling anyone out. They would just say they're just, doing whatever they need to in a globalized world. So maybe they get a house in Malibu rather than, a small fishing boat. It's still pathetic, and it borders on it's banal. And I say that word that way on purpose. I mean, it really is. It's just middling. I mean, and on top of this chain of people who are just doing it because of blunt, boring, animalistic self-interest to acquire for gain, at the top of that chain of that kind of corruption, you got people like the Clintons, right, at the top, who you already know. that you can see. You can see how they're piggies. They want, tens of millions of dollars from Russian companies to, Hillary's Secretary of State or whatever. That's like they have just a big gaping maw of greed and no shame. No shame whatsoever about it. But beneath that, it's more like, the $120,000-$150,000 a year guy who's a career bureaucrat lower down and has a chip on his shoulder and just like dumbly, wants a small amount of money or some kind of small amount of status or recognition. And they start trading away their dignity and their country for it. And then, of course, tier one status, people all through the gradient who are true believers. You get different kinds of people. Not everyone's like this. But my point is that most of the corruption is engaged in by boring and revoltingly middling people who cause great evils for the sake of vapid desires and relatively small gain. That's just the way of it, and so you see that kind of corruption, that kind of flabbiness all over. You see, the idiocy of these gaslighting policies and news cycle waves in the news cycle. The gas stove thing is a great example. I mean, that's probably here today, gone tomorrow, but they're pushing, they're feeling how far they can push the Overton window on this stuff with their power and control. The shots have zero side effects, but gas stoves are dangerous and should be banned. I am very intelligent, and that's my opinion. This stuff is crazy. Everywhere you look, you see this sort of insanity and this just tired performative nonsense. And I think it's important in the midst of this to figure out how you're going to psychologically survive. I mean, business-wise, investment-wise, everyone looking around, as James Polis said recently, advertising, submit a pitch to return, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. He said it's 2023, bodies litter the field, but you're still standing. In fact, you're building. You need the right money, the right people, the right pair of eyes. And now, Return.life can help. Drop a line to get aligned. So you can actually submit a pitch at Return.life. And not only can you find aligned talent, but you can submit a pitch on your startup, your project, your company. Full business plan or lengthy proposal isn't even necessary. Just a few paragraphs, but we're up to a link to your website, contact info. If we're a fit, we can put you in touch with aligned entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses, provide strategic advice, leverage high value opportunities within our networks, whatever. So I would say that is the kind of thing that you need to turn to. In other words, in the midst of this garbage, which is only going to get worse this year, you got to find some particular concrete paths for you to walk down and focus on that don't have to do with the general morass and all the crap going on around you in the culture. Because if you focus on that, you will get lost. You will not stay sober. And it will be very difficult to proceed. And, you know, unless it's your job to look into that with the crystal ball, which to some extent I have to do. If it's not your job to do that, then why are you doing it? You know, I mean, you can stay abreast of things fine every once in a while, stick your head out, you know, but really you want to keep your head down this year and be building something, whether it's a better life for you and your family, whether it's building yourself such that you can, you know, attract a spouse and become a family. You know, you need to be building yourself and those around you in some way, if not institutions or businesses. So you know, focusing on that, or let's say you're stuck within some Borg, some part of the Borg somewhere, then, you know, focus on building a path out. What's your escape route? You're like, you know, your job, you feel like is like a prison and you're stuck, whether it's golden handcuffs or whether it's just a crappy, you know, a crappy cell. How are you going to dig your way out of there? Well, start doing that. Do you need to attain different skills? Do you need to develop a kind of side hustle? Do you need to work on, you know, your behavior and certain virtues? Like, start digging the tunnel, you know, secretly at night instead of wasting away to get out of that prison. There are other opportunities out there. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to accept the prison of your job. You don't have to accept the oppression of being under woke capital. And in fact, the longer you just lay down and accept it and roll over, the less chance anyone will have of defeating it, and the greater the chance that America just rolls over and you know, we all just go down the waterfall into whatever kind of weird woke digital tyranny awaits us if we don't stand up and say no. So, I mean, in other words, the focus should be on, you know, oh gosh, I was watching, you know, Fox News, or I was watching, I'm looking on Twitter and I'm totally blackpilled. The focus is, what can you do in your own life to improve your situation? And there are always things you can do to improve your situation. And there's always a way out. Sometimes it's not as likely as others, but there's always a way out. So, that is what you want to be focusing on in the midst of, you know, the midwit mire writ large for the entire country, the slog of all this dreck slowly oozing around us, and just not seeing, you know, it's very hard to see in the public square anything positive. It's really hard to see that. And so you got to create the positive in your own life, in real life, outside of digital life. Now, we are building things that will help you within digital life. Return.life is one of them, you know, where tech aligns at return.life, all one word, at return.life on Twitter or return.life, you know, on the internets generally for the website. You know, we're building some of these things, and it will unite people, investors, entrepreneurs, you know, businesses, with talented people, and we'll try to get you out. But ultimately, you know, that's up to you. It's like I used to tell college kids many moons ago, you know, it's, they're going to place you, your job placement program. Ultimately, it's up to you. You got to figure out and go do the work and figure out how to, you know, get out of that prison cell, or how to, you know, how to forge a path towards a better way of life. And so that kind of building, rather than you're not conserving anything anymore. Is there anything to conserve in this country? I don't know. But we need to build something new. That's what you want to focus on, you know, again in 2023, because it is, and you're not crazy if you're looking around though and saying like, gosh, it is so bad out there right now. You know, everywhere I look, it's just, it's incompetence. It's, you know, the managed decline, everything, entertainment. I mean, it's like old people. I just saw this meme today that was hilarious. Indiana Jones in the afternoon nap. And it's just a picture of, you know, 80, whatever it is, 80, 81 year old Harrison Ford, kind of laying there, sleeping in the afternoon with his Indiana Jones, stuff on. It's either that or the woke nuttiness or some combination of both. It's like all that exists. It's like tired old stuff, even within entertainment. Nothing satisfies in this environment. And that is a place in which you can actually quietly just start building for yourself. Think about how to get to where you want to go. And also probably the most important, without that, without which nothing, you can't build anything without with this either, is to clear a path for silence in your life. It sounds, can sound crazy, but, you know, this society is so full of noise. That's how it operates. You need to clear out, some time for silence, quiet, peace. And it's a time for prayer, but even if you're a praying sort, there's also something to just nothing, like no prayer even, just being silent before the presence of God. This might be for you if you're like, oh, that makes me uncomfortable. It might be it's a walk without thinking about anything. Thomas Jefferson has the greatest advice to his nephew and others about just taking a walk randomly, just walking around. It's a Seinfeld joke about the difference between men and women and how men just walk around thinking about nothing. But this is a good practice in today's day and age. You want to walk around and think about nothing for a while. You want to clear some time where you can read something meaningful. It doesn't have to be that long, and meditate on it. You want to clear some time so that you can pray, commune with the divine. If you don't do that, you know, the foundation for everything else will fall. If you don't have some space in this insane environment that's just hurtling faster and faster towards bumpier and bumpier parts of the road, in this society that wants to commit suicide even in the midst of its wealth and everything it has, if you don't clear time for silence, for quiet, for contemplation, you won't be able to be effectively active. Your action will not be as effective as it otherwise could be. So this is a enormous problem right now. And the solution is to start, you know, carving out that time. And then, as I said earlier, just building yourself a better way of life, a better life for yourself, and focusing on that consistently, rather than bobbing up and down in the maelstrom of these digital currents that are just picking up speed as the swarm, moves this way and that. So, you know, you're gonna have to find these islands of peace and calm. And, if you don't have to navigate this crap for your job, don't, but positively think, how can I make my wife better, myself and my kids? And what do I have to take to do it? Put your head down and do the work to get there. Really important this year. It really is. Because no matter what kind of important stuff you're working on or, you know, what's at stake for you personally or family, if you don't do this, you just won't succeed. You won't succeed. Hey, if I was God at this point, I would mute all human sentences that begin as a, right? As a, insert color, sexual orientation, you know, whatever it is, anything you put in there. As a blank and blank, as a blank, I have to say, and that my instant response is just shut the blank up. Like, shut up with that. It's really strange the way in which that crept up. Like, you know, you have some special knowledge because of whatever word you're going to say next. You know, every time you speak, what's implied is as a human being. Every time you speak, you're speaking as a human being. You don't have to, the category is what bothers me here. If you have specific experience, then great, you could talk about it. But this argument by way of identity is such a, you know, it's a fallacy. It's such a pernicious part of American life today. And it's so annoying, and it reveals a way in which people are just, you know, radically insecure, and they're not part of real communities, so they're trying to stake their claim as being part of some identity in some abstract way, and ultimately it's really sad, right? I mean, it's really sad, and when you think of how this works with the force of law at this point, I mean, the law encourages people to talk this way. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, which America accepted and passed because we were upset about how Black people particularly were being treated unfairly, and we wanted people to be treated based on you know, their merit, their character, their talent, their ability, their actual ability, rather than the color of their skin. But the irony is, and the great tragedy of really the last, you know, 50, 60 years, is that we now live in a society that has twisted that law to be used as a weapon to do precisely the opposite, right? I mean, all of human resources, regulations, and all the HR, woke HR regime, all the civil rights stuff has all been used to enforce ruthlessly the categorization of the entire workforce and the electorate and the American people on the basis of race and sexual desire, right? Sexual activity. We're dividing people by that. That's how we treat them. That's how we identify them. Now, that's just bizarre in many ways. It's bizarre that you would have such laws. And of course, you know, we can continue to add to this ever changing rainbow. So what we do by law, with the force of law, that's why people are like, get rid of the wokeness, and why can't the corporations stand up? The corporations are bound by regulation and law that ruthlessly enforces identity politics. And until, you know, Republicans or whoever the hell is going to stand up and say this is evil and not be scared of being called, you know what, racist, fascist, etc., this is going to keep happening, and it is happening. And so, you know, I just wonder, you know, if individuals do need to get a pair, because you have to think about leaving the job you're in and combining with people of like mind, which is what the talent network is about. newfounding.com/talent. You know, if you want to hire people who are of like mind, you want to find them and get out of, from under woke capital. You know, you really have to do that, because you're not living as a full human being. You're not living as a full American citizen when you are not allowed to speak what you think is true about very basic facts that until recently were, you know, not in dispute, without fear of being fired. You know, 1917 already happened in America, as I said. In 2020, everyone bowed down to the new powers that be. And, you know, I wrote this piece for Newsweek not long ago about this. And George Washington, in his farewell address, very famously says, you need religion and morality, or you can't have Republican government. And it's not just morality. You need religion in order to keep people moral. And without that morality, that way of life that leads to happiness, you can't have the Republican form of government. And no major founder, whether they were Christian or not, really thought that you could have this form of government without people being
basically like having a Christian country. I mean, they were all Christian nationalists in that sense. None of them thought you could have an American nation that was formed as a Republican form of government, a republic, without Christianity. And, you know, no one wants to admit that now. No one wants to talk about that now. But, you know, even the founders who weren't necessarily that religious thought that this was obviously the case. And Washington said, in vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism, who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, religion and morality. You know, you can't be patriotic if you want to subvert religion and morality. And Washington, in his own life, studied the 110 rules of civility and decent behavior. If you listen to my three-part series on Washington, you know, looking to the future of America, looking back to think about the future of America and what statesmanship might require, you'll know this. You look back in the archives of this show, it's really a part of a course, lectures that I give to elite leaders on the right. And there's a three-part Washington series. But part of it is Washington, when he's a child, studies 110 rules of civility and decent behavior, the final of which remains the task of all of us today, which is, quote, labor to keep alive in your breast that little spark of celestial fire called conscience. Very interesting description. Labor to keep alive in your breast that little spark of celestial fire called conscience. And that's how the 110 rules of civility and decent behavior that Washington dutifully studied and copied down, that's how it ends. That's how it ends. And, you know, I think of this now when I think of everyone who's stuck in a business situation where that fire is repressed. It has to be hidden. Your fire has to be hid under a bushel, right? I mean, that's what's going on. That's what's going on. There's a few weeks ago, Robin Keller, a partner at the international law firm Hogan Lovells, Wall Street Journal op-ed, revealed that she shared her convictions about Roe v. Wade and the Dobbs decision in the workplace on a safe space conference call for female employees. But she said she approved of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and she mourned the effect abortion has had, especially on Black communities. And she was called a racist, and her contracts with the firm were terminated. As she concluded, quote, if this could happen to me, anyone who expresses a disfavored opinion, even on a matter of law, can expect the same treatment, immediate cancellation without concern for client interests, due process, or fairness. And of course, this is precisely the case everywhere. It could happen to anyone. We know this already. I mean, this is America 2023. I've talked to so many people over the last few years who know that something like Keller's story could happen to them. They're not just lawyers. They work in every major industry. It's constant, it's continuous, and it's an increasing theme of conversation about the state of corporate America. It's an increasing reality in corporate America. And, you know, they might be able to say what their religious identity is and have that be perfected. You know, I'm a Protestant, I'm a Catholic, whatever, I'm a Baptist. But they feel like they got to keep their head down when it comes to their religious convictions, because you're supposed to affirm progressive orthodoxy, and everyone knows there will be consequences if you publicly dissent from it. And so there is no real freedom of conscience in America's major corporations. Let me say that again. Let's acknowledge this because it's reality. It's true. There is no real freedom of conscience in America's major corporations. That ship has sailed. Yeah, you might find some exception here. What about this? There's no real freedom of conscience in America's major corporations. Just like you can call what we have free speech today when the government is actively colluding with the biggest media enterprises out there to shape the flow and content of speech. But this is not a free speech society anymore, you know. And what's sad is this is America, which we used to pride itself on freedom of speech and freedom of religion. No American should have to live this way, lying to the world, betraying their conscience in assent or in silence. But this HR regime, this human resources regime, which is, you know, enforced by law, as I said, I use this word deliberately, regime, because it wields instruments of political control. That HR regime demands that many of our best and brightest do just this, right? That betray their conscience, be silent, hide their light under a bushel. And of course, you know, the commissars that fill out our bloated middle management positions, you know, across the country, they weaponize identity to create workplaces that are toxic to excellence and hostile to certain views, right? What matters is what your identity is, and then you use that as a weapon to say, oh, so-and-so was oppressive to me, and you move up this way rather than moving up by excellence and actually doing your job well. So this makes it very easy for psychopaths to move about the cabin. The worst possible people, narcissists, these are the people now who can navigate, you know, the new framework. It's basically like a roadmap has been set out for them to be crazy and to denigrate people who are actually accomplishing things and weaponize identity politics to get ahead in the workplace. So, you know, if you dissent on abortion, sexuality, gender, you'll have serious professional and personal consequences come down pretty quick. But we lament this and we do nothing. And then within the workplace itself, who gets ahead? Well, excellence is what is being devalued here. What matters is being able to wield power with identity, to weaponize identity to get ahead. So, you know, what do you do about it? And I've said this over and over again. It's too much to expect. I was saying this on Orrin McIntyre's podcast the other day. By the way, if you get a chance, A-U-R-O-N, McIntyre with an M-A-C. Orrin McIntyre is great, very interesting. One of the guys I generally agree with most of what he says. I can't say that about most people. And interesting commentator online. And now he's with The Blaze. I was just on his podcast and we talked a little bit about this. You can't expect that most people are going to willingly court the possibility of being fired or professionally blackballed. You know, you can't expect every believer in an older faith in an older America to speak against the conversion of their country and their companies to the creed of diversity, equity, and inclusion. They're not all going to stand up and say anything because they'll get mowed down. They know that. And the solution isn't really within woke corporations at all, because woke dogma has the force of law behind it. As I said, the Civil Rights Act has long been abused, tortured into the very opposite of what the American people promised themselves. And instead of a nation where our children are not judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character, our citizens are now set against each other. They're grouped and judged and singled out by race and sex and religious conviction. Democrats embrace this reversal. Republicans need to go on offense if they want to get anywhere at all, to use the force of law to reconquer our corporate cultures and take them back from woke HR and identity politics, which has the force of law. But in the meantime, you know, what will most people do? You can't expect them. You got to make this easy for them. What do you want them to do? To just commit career suicide by saying this is terrible and stand up and get knocked down and lose their job and not be able to provide for their families? No, you can't do that. But we do know that highly accomplished, high-performing individuals in every sort of industry across the country, they're increasingly realizing that excellence is being devalued. We're turning into a second-world nation. And they know their consciences are under attack. They want out. And this is an enormous pool of potential talent, which, you know, together with like-minded investors who feel the same duty to conscience, represents an amazing opportunity for startups and establishing mid-sized businesses, as well as financial structures and entities. And this is, you know, I'm obviously just speaking from daily experience here. I mean, at New Founding, we're connecting aligned talent and capital wherever we can. You know, simply becoming employers can find new partners this way, investors this way, investors can find incredible opportunities this way, because it's not just like people who are on the right trying to band together to do whatever. No. These are people who are talented and their talent is being suppressed, and they're successful. So they weren't going to leave their successful positions, but now things are so bad where, you know, it's crushing their souls. It's oppressing them. It's they're not allowed to use their talent, and if they are using their talent well, it's for the sake of people who increasingly hate them, and force them to hide their light under a bushel, to hide the celestial fire within them, uh, to uh, to basically squelch that little spark, to squelch their conscience. And that is something, ladies and gentlemen, that we can't allow to happen. And if we allow it to happen, we lose. We lose everything. You lose your dignity as a human being to forces that will gleefully accept your bowing down. And that is why we started the Talent Network to place people at newfounding.com/talent. That's why I wrote this article, Corporate America and the Spark of Conscience, in Newsweek. And I will not stop talking about this, no matter what else I do as I build various things, because if I don't stop talking about it, and it's easier for me to do this than other people, and we don't band together, we will lose this country, and we will lose ground that, you know, we'll become basically enslaved. And I don't want that for my kids, and I don't want that even for the rest of my life. I will go down fighting. Fight to win, as we say. And that's it for today. I hope you all have a good one. Remember to you know, stay sane. Carve out that silent time for yourself. Don't feel like it's selfish. You need to do it. And just keep building for yourself and your family. Find those particular paths. You'd be surprised what's out there. Because that's what's going to change things. And that's what's going to keep you sane. And we need you that way in the rest of 2023.